My hope is built on nothingness than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood sustained me in the raging flood. When all supports are washed away, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Clothed in His righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee, O the fires of sin, I resign. Thy grace Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast I love people.
If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with the changing of the showbread on Sabbath day. Thank you so much for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. We pray that the blessings and the truth we hear today bless us with a stronger walk and more opportunities to share our faith with others. Thank you for letting us be alive in these last days and to see your hand glorified almost daily now. Well, actually daily now. And thank you for blessing us with many opportunities to see your truth proclaimed to millions. And we thank you for blessing us with this work and keeping the work safe and the workers and those that help us do the work as well. Because we all have to work together on this to get home. Thank you again for blessing us with salvation so that we can live with you throughout all eternity, and to glorify you, and to show our love, and to see your love for us as well. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sabbath blessings, brothers and sisters. I'm blessed that you are here, blessed to be here with you, and this is part 5 of the sermon series Back to Eden. It should be the last one. I'm glad you guys are able to be here, to be able to hear the Lord's words. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to each and every one of you. Let us begin. Another reason why God wants us to go back to the Eden diet is because of the fact that the earth is cursed with a curse. The animals eat artificial food instead of eating the grass. The chicken eat artificial feeds instead of rice, corn, and grains. The feeds that these animals eat contain chemicals that also can be transferred to the human body. Let us see which one we are similar to so we can get an idea of what we should be eating. Number 1, the meat eaters. And they are the lion, the tiger, the leopard, and the polar bear. Number 2, the herbivores. The cow, the elephant, the sheep, the deer, and the goat. Okay, the first thing is the meat eaters have claws. Herbivores no claws, and humans also have no claws. The meat eaters have no skin pores and perspire through their tongue. Herbivores perspire through their skin pores. Humans also perspire through skin pores. The meat eaters have sharp front teeth for tearing, with no flat molar teeth for grinding. Herbivores have no sharp front teeth, but flat rear molars for grinding. And humans also have no sharp front teeth, but flat rear molars for grinding. The meat eaters have intestinal tract that is only 3 times their body length so that rapidly decaying meat can pass through quickly. Herbivores have an intestinal tract 10 to 12 times their body length. Humans have intestinal tract 10 to 12 times their body length as well. You know, and only 3 times the length for the meat eaters is why they also have to eat so much. Constantly a high amount of meat they have to eat. The lions, the tigers, all of them have to eat so much meat because it leaves their system so quickly. Meat eaters have strong hydrochloric acid in stomach to digest meat. Herbivores have stomach acid that is 20 times weaker than that of a meat eater. And humans also have stomach acid that is 20 times weaker than that of a meat eater. The meat eaters' salivary glands and mouth not needed to pre-digest grains and fruits. Herbivores, well-developed salivary glands, which are necessary to pre-digest grains and fruits. And humans as well have well-developed salivary glands, which are necessary to pre-digest grains and fruits. Meat eaters have acid saliva with no enzyme,
ptyalin,
to pre-digest grains. Herbivores have alkaline saliva with
ptyalin
to pre-digest grains. Humans have alkaline saliva with
ptyalin
to pre-digest grains. If we are designed to eat meat, then we would not have so much digestive similarities with the herbivore. If we are designed to eat meat, then we should eat meat raw and bloody, and we wouldn't need a knife and a fork. Carnivores eat meat raw and bloody. They don't cook it. We only cook to make it taste good. If a deer is burned in a forest fire, a lion will not eat its flesh. So brothers and sisters, we have teeth in the front of our mouth that they call canines, so they're a little sharper than the average tooth that we have. But these would be for tearing into apples, you know, tearing into oranges, these different things that we need to tear into, but that are not tough. You know, the simple fact is, if we were like a meat eater, we would jump onto the back of a cow and just start eating away, and all of our teeth would fall out of our mouth, and the cow would run away, and we wouldn't have any food, nor would we be able to chew food anymore. So let us look at the dangers of meat eating. First, in order to eat meat, we have to kill, torture, and terminate the life of animals, God's poor, precious creatures that He created for us to have companionship, not to kill and murder. So eating meat involves a process that has a tendency to make the person develop a character of hurting life. You know, no big deal. It has to happen. You know, what I've realized is that most people, if they had to, not so much the older generation, but if most people had to, especially in America, had to actually hunt for their food, you know, kill these animals, skin them, and do what they have to do to eat it, most could not do it. Where I myself and most of us, it's easy to walk over to a tree and pick off the fruit or pull up the vegetables out of the ground and eat them. Very easy. So, to conclude, that meat eating exploits nature. You know, we are raising these animals in high numbers just for the lusting of our flesh, the lusting of our taste buds, and we're also polluting at a very high rate because of this. The animals are given hormones for them to grow bigger and faster. If you eat these animals like chicken, therefore you're eating the female hormones that are being injected. The livestock feed consists of protein concentrates. Ingredients of protein concentrate include internal organs of the dead animals from slaughterhouse, dead animals on the road, animals that are euthanized. In LA, 300,000 kilos of euthanized dogs and cats are grinded into pieces to be used as protein concentrate for livestock feed. Not to mention, they don't let anything go to waste. They even scoop up the blood to spray it on dog food and other things that they feed to animals for taste. Nothing goes to waste. They truly recycle that dead thing. And what were we told by God? Not to eat anything that's been strangled or died on of its own. Okay? So they're going to feed that which God has told us not to even eat to the animals that we're going to turn around and eat. I think we have to rethink it. The risk of acquiring disease from diseased animals. Who among us know that the meat served in the markets is from healthy cows? You know? And also, he says not to eat things that have fat and blood. And when I used to eat meat, I could go in and look, and probably still can today, I just don't pass by it very much, at the meat that's sitting in the package, and you can flush it back and forth, and it's full of blood. That doesn't leave. You know, they take it right in, and they cook it. And that's for the flavoring. Meat eating causes high blood pressure, heart disease, liver damage, cancer, arthritis, because of the uric acid, the high acid content it puts out, colon cancer, anemia, appendicitis, prostate cancer, indigestion, stroke, varicose veins, obesity, and quite honestly, etc. In the U.S., you can read all sorts of articles discussing the dangers of eating meat, but how many people listen? You know, like when I smoke cigarettes, everybody always telling me, all the articles, no one wants to listen. Almost none. So sad it is. Meat is fatty, and the fats go to the arteries and block arteries. You know, it's very simple. Blocks the artery to the heart, a heart attack. Blocks the artery to the brain, a stroke. Most rich people die of colon cancer because they can afford meat, and they do not know that some excess meat are rotten in their colon and causes cancer cells to activate. It reminds me of John Wayne and even Elvis Presley. For stories of up to 20 to 25 pounds of fecal matter stuck in their colon, okay, but they could only go to the bathroom through a pencil-sized hole, okay? Bowel movement issue. If the person is constipated, as we were talking about, the rotting meat can stay in the intestinal wall for months or years. For a person who is not sick, the meat stays in the intestinal wall for 14 to 21 days. That's 2 to 3 weeks. Let me ask you, how many days can you keep meat outside without it being refrigerated? Okay, that is what you put in your stomach. Our stomach is not a refrigerator, but we let rotten meat stay there for 14 to 21 days. Another serious problem with all animal products is that they contain zero fiber. The lack of fiber in meat and dairy and eggs leads them to rot in the colon, causing constipation, body odor, colon problems, back pain, any kind of chronic disease you can think of. Health starts in the intestines. It is the gateway into the body, gateway to health. It is the fiber which can only be found in plant life that acts as an intestinal broom to keep our colons clean. There's two different types of fiber, soluble fiber and insoluble fiber. Soluble fiber will actually ingest into the intestines and helps bring in the vitamins and the minerals and slows that absorption into that, so you keep that. Unsoluble fiber is what adds bulk to the stool. Okay, it is what helps grab things, water gets into it, draws water from the intestines and expands, and it creates a heavy motion, and we know gravity pushes things down. So it's not actually digested, but it helps move things that have not been digested out of you. Because we know we're not perfect, we're on this earth, there is a waste. It is not 100% digestion as we will experience in heaven. Okay, so we're going to have waste no matter what we eat, no matter what, if it's healthy or not, we're going to have waste. If you eat the hormones in the animals, there's a tendency of developing an animalistic behavior. It has been studied and has been linked. Frontal lobe controls these things. I know Brother Nick has discussed this. The anger issues, all these things are driven by when we eat meat, when we eat blood, it's rapidly increased. It's rapidly, we become an animal because we're eating animals. We're related to our brothers, we're related to our sisters. We're related to our cousins, to our aunt, uncle, mother, dad, etc. But what we're related to the most in this life is our food. Because when we eat, it becomes us. So brothers and sisters, we have to pay attention to what we eat. We have to say, when I eat this cow, chicken, vegetable, fruit, whatever it may be, do I want this to become me? Do I want this to be a part of my trillions of cells? Because that's what it's going to do. And what I hear the most about what we should continuously eat is fish. What about fish? And I think this is mostly from Christians because of the simple fact that people believe Jesus Christ ate fish. And he fed fish to us, which he did feed. Okay? But what we must remember is 2,000 years ago to today is not the same. 300 years ago today is not the same. 60 years ago today is not the same. Recent studies show that 50% of the fish has cancer. Fish has been shown to have twice the cholesterol of pork or beef, to say nothing of the pollution in our lakes, ponds, streams, rivers, and oceans where they swim. They're in the industrial age, PCBs, highly contaminating chemical. It's still testing every stream to be positive for it, okay? Especially a higher concentration where factories and plants have been back in the quote-unquote golden years of America, when we used to make more stuff here. Mercury will do some of the same things. The fluorescent light bulbs, all these things that are dumped back in, batteries, all this stuff goes into the ground, goes into the water, and these fish, it becomes part of it. And if you eat them, it becomes part of you. The other question is, where do we get our protein? We do not need protein, people. What we need are amino acids. Amino acid is the building block of protein. Example is the coconut fruit. What do you eat, the shell or the coconut meat? Compare protein as the coconut shell and amino acid as the meat. You don't need protein, but you need the amino acid, like you don't need the shell, but the meat. Animals' protein, including dairy products, have lots of sulfur that turns into bad acid. But vegetable protein has fiber. This acid goes into the blood, into the bones, and washes out the calcium in the bones into the urine and causes osteoporosis. Many people say, drink lots of milk and prevent osteoporosis. No, osteoporosis is not a lack of calcium, it's excess protein. Scandinavia has the highest level of dairy consumption, and they have the worst osteoporosis. And I have to say, America is easily in the top 3 or 4 for the same thing. So we can automatically see the hypocrisy and that it doesn't make any sense. As much dairy as America consumes, I should never see one person complaining about osteoporosis. But it's not true. As I just said, the higher the acid content in the body, the more your body has to leach minerals, especially calcium, to neutralize it. So you not only are you not helping yourself, as they claim you are, you know, that you're going to die if you don't get it, you're actually going to die because you're eating it, because you're robbing your body of what it already had that was good to neutralize the bad. And sulfur is very good for us, but sulfur occurs naturally in nature. It's rained down upon the fruits and vegetables in the soil, and they take it up. Now, unfortunately, from the ways that they farm stuff nowadays, it's stripped. They don't let the land rest. But sulfur from animals is bad. Sulfur from nature, you know, from the ground is good. Plant sources of amino acids are spinach, carrots, cauliflower, broccoli, beans, lentils, tofu, peanuts, soy products, banana, the avocado, papaya, coconut, tomato, and every single fruit or vegetable that's not cooked, okay, has this, has what we need. You know, let our food be our medicine. They all claim nowadays, these health people, that Hippocrates was the first one to say this. I disagree. God and God's word only was the first one to say this. Revelation 22:2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Okay? God has already given us what we need. He is the one that knew food will be our medicine and medicine will be our food. Not a philosopher. The Almighty God, the creator of us, knew it. Not only for us, but for the animals, my friends. Watch an animal when it is sick, and you will find that the only thing it will eat is grass. Why? The grass contains enzymes, vitamins, proteins, organic minerals, chlorophyll, antioxidants, and much more. Chlorophyll increases the red blood cell count, okay? It is all the green pigment. The sun gives us so much, you know? Protein, these amino acids, it's found first and foremost is made by photosynthesis, okay? Comparison of their meat and our meat today, meat during the time of the patriarchs was 3% fat because of the way they were grown. Today, beef is 20 to 30% fat, while pork is 40 to 60% fat. The meat back then was not full of cancer and antibiotics and growth hormones and preservatives and the chemical toxins from feed. They were healthy animals that God saw fit for them to eat after the flood because there was nothing else to eat and only because of the murmuring, under strict guidelines of what they were to eat. It is not the way it's supposed to be, but even back then it was better than the way it is now. The other thing, so are you saying that if you are a vegan, you won't get sick? No, I'm not saying that. Going vegan or vegetarianism requires a thorough knowledge on how to prepare your food, proper food combination, the sources of your vegetables, and etc. Example, you don't need to eat meat, but you deep fry your vegetables. You don't need to eat meat, but your intake of salt is too much. You are a vegan, but you always eat cooked food. You don't eat meat, but you buy veggies from sources that use a lot of chemicals to grow their veggies. You don't eat meat, but you stay up late and never get good rest. You don't eat meat, but you don't get enough exercise. You don't eat meat, but you drink soda, coffee, tea, smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol. Still, you can get sick even if you have discarded meat in your diet because you can still disobey God's natural laws. There is still more processed food that does not have meat that will kill you because it's been processed no different than the meat has been processed. You know, the factors to maintain good health. Number one is raw food, organic raw food. Two, the proper food combination. Eat solo meals, all of one fruit, and then go on. You know, it gets you a big salad, that's fine. Melons should be kept separate from everything else, okay? The types of cookware you use. Sources of vegetables. So again, we have the organic or non-organic, and the types of cookware would classify as using Teflon nonstick pans that when they are heated at high temperatures, because they have to be, you're releasing that chemicals and all those chemicals in that Teflon into your food, which you consume into your blood. Try to use a stainless steel pan, you know, with the copper bottom or whatever it may be, just hope that it's, you know, that make sure that it's non-stick. A little bit more work to clean it up, but better for your health. Some of the amazing facts. The prevalence of obesity quadrupled in the past 25 years among boys and girls. Currently 15% of the U.S. population. In minority youth, this statistic climbs to 20%. Type 2 diabetes accounted for 2 to 4% of all childhood diabetes before 1992, but skyrocketed up to 30 to 50% by 2004. Americans are dependent on harmful drugs and pharmaceuticals, and yet, still very sick. In 2006, 1.5 million Americans die from dietary-related diseases at a cost of $800 billion. Brothers and sisters, we have the best health care we can, making proper, informed, intelligent decisions based upon our health and based upon what God has given us. We don't have to wait in line for heart transplants. We don't have to wait for all these things. We don't have to worry about being taxed for health care if we would just follow God's plan. Agribusiness and food processing account for 60% of U.S. oil consumption. Conscious eating equals reduced oil dependency and a decrease in greenhouse gas emissions. To dispel the belief that this diet is for non-achievers and non-performers, I have never felt better since I've gone to a vegan diet and striving for raw. The hypocrisy here is they want us to drive smaller cars. They want to tax us to death. They want to use, which we already know, this global warming scam to take our rights from us. When the simple fact of the matter is, if we would just eat better, we'd all see prices at the pump fall. Okay? So much oil consumption for processing food in these animals that we most consume. Healthier air if we would just stop doing this as well. If we get sick because of eating meat, what will God do to us? 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In Isaiah 66:15-17. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if we eat the abomination, which would be pharmaceutical-laden animals, if we eat these things that we know are not right, the swine's flesh, the mouse, the crab, the lobster, whatever it may be, if we eat these things, because they contain poisons, even natural poisons from other animals, or poisons that man has pumped into them to make money, we will die for this, okay? We will be consumed. Matthew 3:10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. About 90% of the money that Americans now spend on food goes to buy processed food, brothers and sisters. The canning, the freezing, dehydrating techniques used in processing destroys most of food's flavor and nutrients. And so a vast industry has arisen in the United States to make processed food more palatable, but not more nutritious. Without this flavor industry, today's fast food, processed food, would not exist. The names of the leading American fast food chains and their best-selling menu items have become embedded in our popular culture and famous worldwide. But few people, if any, can name the companies that manufacture fast food's taste or processed food's taste. Scientists now believe that human beings acquire the sense of taste as a way to avoid being poisoned. Edible plants generally taste sweet, harmful ones bitter. The taste buds on our tongues can detect the presence of a half a dozen or so basic tastes, including sweet, sour, bitter, salty, astringent, umami, a taste discovered by Japanese researchers. A rich and full sense of deliciousness triggered by amino acids in foods such as meat, the shellfish, mushroom, potatoes, and seaweed. Taste buds offer limited means of detection. However, compared with the human olfactory system, which can perceive thousands of different chemical aromas. Indeed, flavor is primarily the smell of gases being released by the chemicals you just put in your mouth. The aroma of a food can be responsible for as much as 90% of its taste. The act of drinking, sucking, or chewing a substance releases its volatile gases. They flow out of your mouth and up your nostrils, or up the passageway in the back of your mouth to a thin layer of nerve cells called the olfactory epithelium, located at the base of your nose, right between your eyes. Your brain combines the complex smell signals from your olfactory epithelium with the simple taste signals from your tongue. Assigns a flavor to what's in your mouth, and it decides if it's something you want to eat. Brothers and sisters, what most do not know is the great perfume houses of England, France, and the Netherlands produce many of the first flavor compounds. In the early part of the 20th century, Germany took the technological lead in flavor production, owing to its powerful chemical industry. Legend has it that German scientists discovered methyl anthranilate, one of the first artificial flavors, by accident while mixing chemicals in his laboratory. Suddenly the lab was filled with the sweet smell of grapes. Methyl anthranilate later became the chief flavor compound in grape Kool-Aid. Brothers and sisters, what many fail to realize is, as Satan has his way with the music lovers of the world, through the rock industry, the rap industry, the hip-hop, whatever it may be, and he also has his way, you know, he has his way through the ears with music. He has his ways through the eye with the way people are dressed nowadays in a lustful manner, as well as in Hollywood with movies. He also has his way with people through their taste, by these chemical pharmakia types companies that are making billions of dollars off poisoning each and every one of us. He can get us addicted to things that in normal circumstances, eating the proper food, our body would reject and hate and get sick from it. But he has dumbed down the senses. Okay? The deception, the craftiness of our enemy is all-encompassing. Okay? We can detect poisons. The body knows what to reject. But when it's overtaxed by a continuing onslaught by these things, it gives up like it was knocked down in the ring and can't get back up. It needs to be detoxed. It needs to be cleansed out. The taste buds rejuvenate every 10 days. They need to be retrained for the things that God has given us. Just like we need to be retrained if we learn spiritual doctrine error. Okay, we have to unlearn. Now we have to untaste these things and get back on the right track. What does God want from us? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And that's 3 John 1, 2. In Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Exodus 15, 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 and 11. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, that they are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Psalm 78:25, man did eat angels' food, he sent them meat to the full. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. My faithful brothers and sisters, the believers of old did eat angels' food. They were not satisfied. They craved meat. They craved that which was bad for them. They did not show their good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's why they're an ensample for us. They are to show us what is going to happen if we follow those steps. Our loving Savior went about all the cities, healing, teaching, and preaching. Let us do the same. Through Him, through His righteousness. We cannot expect God to do something for us that we are capable of doing for ourselves. If we know that food is going to heal us, and not doing that is going to heal us, it doesn't matter how many times we pray for a miracle, the miracle is right in front of us. We have to do our part. God has already given us what we need. It's our turn to take it and believe it. We are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 12:2. We are to endure the cross. We are to pick up our cross, denying the appetite, denying the lust of the eyes, whatever it may be, brothers and sisters, so we can sit down in heaven with our Savior. Let those who profess to believe the truth seek most earnestly to follow in the footsteps of our Master Jesus Christ. And we need to minister to all who need a Savior. Christ has plainly laid down the conditions upon which our salvation depends. If any man will come after me, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's Matthew 16:24. Yes, we are to follow Christ. Let every dear soul who desires to obey our God, our Father, our precious brother, which is Jesus Christ, who knows how we feel, walk in the footsteps of Him, our Redeemer. We must be meek and lowly. We are to bring forth fruits of righteousness according to the capabilities God has given us, as I've said earlier. God wants us to be prosperous and be in good health. If we are sick, we rob God of service. Best of all, He wants us to prepare for the Eden, the great garden, to be restored where there is no killing of animals for food, there's no more disease, there's no more sickness, there's no more crying, there's no more hate, there's no more bitter, and there's no more so many things that are evil that come from our belly, the indulgence of. Last, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2. Brothers and sisters, I pray that each and every one of you are blessed over this series. May even be more things to come on health. There are so many things that I cannot cover here. You know, if anybody is needing any links to any of this stuff that is said, please visit OKCSDRmedia.org and contact us. We'll be glad to send you those things. Also, Brother Nick's remnantofgod.org under the health section. Do we really want to eat that unclean food? There's many blessings there. So I suggest each and every one of you read through that and click on those links that are there, as well as brother and sister Amanda and David, the Remnant's Guide to Natural Health. That's RG2NH.org. It's a beautiful website as well. Let every one of us study and shew thyself approved with diet, with everything. I hope each and every one of you are blessed again. May you have a blessed end of this week, Sabbath day, and have a blessed next week. I love each and every one of you. Thank you so much, and may God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day. Thank you for teaching us truths we sometimes fail to acknowledge. And thank you for blessing us with the strength to be able to do that which you would have us do. For those of us that are having issues with lusts of the flesh when it comes to diets, we pray, Father, that your hedge of angels is about us and you give us the strength to endure and to stand firm and do that sacrifice that is right to do. I thank you for blessing us when we obey. Thank you, Father, for blessing everyone that has taken part in this service today and all those that are on our prayer list. We thank you for blessing Brother Ryan with the words you have given him that will cut many hearts. And we thank you for blessing us in this week ahead and keep us safe in it. And bless us with the work. Keep the work safe and the workers, as well as those that help us do the work. And thank you for blessing them abundantly, because there's much work to do. And thank you for giving us the time wherewith to do it and the courage to do it as well. And again, we thank you for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with that latter rain so we can glorify you and go forth in a loud cry. And Father, even though our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, we pray in the name of your Son to the best of our ability. In his name, is Jesus Christ, and he is our King. We thank you for him, and it is in his name that we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen.